Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Tatum and Brown, the big thing about them, again, is their relationship. Did they learn enough from Ime to not be under his wing and perform at a high level? That's going to be the question, because you could see there were times when Ime pulled Tatum to the side and, you know, talked to him and stroked them and all this stuff, and it seemed like things really worked out well for him last year. Have they grown past that leadership, and can Joe bring his touch in?
Causeway Street Podcast, episode 300. Joseph Pavone here, Joel Pavone, Sean Dutra, and a very special guest, because this is 300, fellas. The 300th episode, so of course I had to bring in a Celtics legend for this Celtics podcast. Cedric Maxwell is joining us. We're going to preview the Celtics season, we'll preview the NBA, and whatever the hell else comes up, because it should be a good conversation whenever Max is on. What's going on, Max?
And then, oh man, I am just excited about tomorrow, getting it on tomorrow, first opening day. You always have those jitters and to see what they're going to do about Bill Russell. But first of all, the unveiling of their new jerseys, their new uniforms, which look like damn Milwaukee Bucks uniforms out of the bag.
Oh, no, Mac.
Not feeling them, huh?
Not feeling them. Oh, damn.
Not traditional white and green. No, I didn't. Something like that. I didn't like.
But what do you think about the font, though? The font's good. You know where the font's from?
Where?
It's from Slade's. They use the exact font from Slade's, restaurant he used to own. Yeah, so the font is from Slade's. It's an honor.
The font is meaning what, Josue? Break this down. I'm an old man, all right?
the bold lettering, the style is the exact makeup of Slade's. So,
Okay.
All right. Wasn't impressed. I went into both jerseys, but now that Max mentions the Bucks, I'm like, you know what? That you're onto something, man. It is almost a ripoff of
like the throwbacks or something, right? Yeah.
I've seen it before, but I don't know. I like that. I like the rings on the side and everything. That was
yeah. I mean, I don't know. I see what you're saying with that. That's not the first time I've heard that comparison, but I think the green is closer to a few years back when the Big Three, the latest Big Three, they used to have like a darker, like green, like it was another alternate uniform. I haven't seen that since Paul Pierce and, you know, KG and all of them were here.
It's just too much going on for me for it. So,
Fair enough.
I've always been so traditional. When I first got around, that was the one thing they told us you couldn't do. You had to wear red or black, and obviously those days are gone, but. So you had to wear a sports coat or a mock turtleneck or a suit. And then with your shoes for game day, they either had to be black or they had to be green. And there wasn't all these colors. Mm-hmm. Take, you know, somewhere over the rainbow, those shoes, you know, like Dorothy's shoes. Now, though, that that shit would not have worked, okay?
Lucky if they're wearing clothes into the arena in some instances. Forget about boots.
Like, whoa, I'm like looking at Jason Tatum's shoes. I'm like, is anybody thinking of that, you know, damn, they're colorblind or you know, I mean, is this some kind of thing that y'all do in Honduras? Is this a Honduranian type color?
Wow.
I don't know. I don't quite know, you know, because I'm like, damn, you know, that color doesn't match with that color, and that color doesn't go with that. Well, never mind.
Well, okay. Maybe Deuce is picking out his outfits and his shoes. You know, maybe that's the case.
Potentially.
Wait a minute, Max. You're not telling me that's not late 80s, early 90s vibes, like with the different colors and different patterns?
I do know. Where everybody's colors back then were essentially like uniforms. You know, if your shoe company normally made something that was very uniform for you. If you know, you think about Larry Bird when he wore, and what were they, Larry Bird and Magic, they wore, what were they called, the weapons?
Converse?
Yeah, the Converse weapons are what they called, but Magic had his, it had a gold star on it, and Larry had his, had a green star on it. So essentially, everybody had a color scheme that they kind of stayed with. One time, I was wearing ponies early in my career, and the pony shoe company made a mistake and essentially had the shoe more white than it was green. And the Celtics just had a fit about it. And
the
crazy part was that there was a lot of kids who wanted to wear the shoe, but they had made a mistake. And they're like, no, we're taking this shoe out of our stock. But a lot of kids were coming, I want to get the Max shoe. I want to get the Cedric Maxwell shoe. And that shoe was just taken out of line, so it was really fun to see it.
Man, you should have got that shit signed somewhere, some contract or something. You should have. But I guess the Celtics wouldn't have allowed it.
Since I'm on the 300 podcast with you guys, I want to let you in on a secret, which your brother did, which is one of the all-time boo-boos.
Oh.
Yeah, what you mean? No, we don't got to do that. No, we don't got to do that for 300.
Yeah, go ahead, Max. You know, you're our guest here. First time on Causeway. Go ahead.
It was me and your brother. We're at a...
I already know what you're about to say.
So he has my... I said, you know, some of my books, and Joe Sway is the... He's a sidekick. He's selling my books and stuff. So there was a guy who came up with his son. His son has known me for a long time. And his son is blind. And he's saying something to me about, yeah, do you want Max's number?
And he was trying to confirm if
brother
he still had the same number.
Goes to the kids and said, yeah, this number right here.
he held up the phone? That's what he did? He held up the phone?
Blind. And then Joe Sway tried to switch it up. The father did like this. He said, did you just try to show my blind kid a telephone number on you? It would have been okay if I hadn't been standing there, but I started crying. It was so funny.
I turned to Max and he's clutched over laughing. Just showing everything. I was like,
what am I going to do when he does that?
You got it, man. That's like, yeah.
It was straight up like the gift of us.
Is it the blind kid is standing there? He goes, hey, here's his number right here.
I didn't say that. Okay,
hold up the phone.
I showed it to him for a second. And then once I realized what I was doing, I tried to switch it to the father. He goes, no, you just try to show me.
At least the dad called you out. That's a not, man.
As he should. I would have called my ass out, too.
Let me clarify this for my son who can't see.
I felt like Homer Simpson going through the bushes, bro. I was just wanted to die. I wanted to. Okay. If I could hit a button to disappear, I would have smashed that.
Yeah, so we got 100th. You know, podcasts.
That's a gem right there.
That your brother led into that was one of the all-time boo-boos when you come in with somebody being there going.
Oh, man.
I appreciate you, Max, bro. I actually didn't tell these guys that story, so I appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Look, he pulled the George W. when he waved to Stevie Wonder one time.
Whoa. Hey, Stevie.
He's like, hey, Stevie.
I mean, Stevie Wonder is the one sitting courtside at all those Lakers games for no reason. I mean,
yeah, right.
Don't get me started there.
Oh, we forgot. You know, we got the conspiracy theorists here on Stevie not actually being blind. It's not just Shaq. Shaq thinks that too, but Sean Ducey.
What are your thoughts, Max, on that? I know we're really getting away from Celtics coverage here.
It's important stuff. We got to clear up some things.
Are you asking me, can Stevie see?
That is the question.
Well, I'm going to go out there and say, I think Stevie is blind.
Okay.
And I'm going to let it go like that. I can't imagine that, you know, you're going to fake your sight or you're not having sight for all these years. That really doesn't hold a lot for me there.
One day we've got pages of evidence coming up. Just check the internet. This can be mind see when you're bored one day.
This is what happens when you spend too much time on YouTube, right, man?
Yeah, that's true.
You went down a rabbit hole for like 5 hours.
That is true. Somebody asked me a question. I'll ask ask this on your podcast. A little different than and my other question I asked to your brother, co-host. If you could go back in time, well, give me a sports moment, three sports moments you'd go back to.
Ooh.
Sports moments in general?
In general. It's sports moment in time. You going back in time.
Okay.
You got three sports moments you can go back to.
Wow.
Now, this is how it started out. Somebody was asking me something else, and I thought about that. I had another question, which was the Mount Rushmore question, like if you're building a Mount Rushmore. But now it turned over to give me three periods in time you go back. One of them, I give you a guess for me, was if I could be back there for one moment in time, it would have been Chamberlain scoring 100.
Oh, yeah, that was hilarious, yeah.
But there's no.
That many people in the entire arena, and you're going, wow, that really would be shot. The other one for me, another one is before you guys were born, it was 1968 in Mexico, where Giancarlo's and put their fists up in the air with the
power. Oh, that's right, yeah.
Like, damn. And I would probably say another moment in time. The last one probably, as much as I hated it, it still was like this moment. It would have been Muhammad Ali, Joe Frazier, with their first fight in Madison Square Garden. That had to be like just unbelievable.
Yeah, it's got to be one of them for me for sure. That one, Jordan in 98, I always say that's one of the three.
Yeah.
The shot.
Okay.
Being in Utah. And then, I don't know, the third one, man.
I mean, I can say one recent when when the Sox won the World Series back in 04, you know, breaking the 86-year curse.
Okay.
And you got to put in the, it's hockey, but the U.S. hockey team in 1980.
Oh, the Miracle on Ice, yeah.
That'll be out there.
Well, would that be yours, being you? So that would be one of yours, Miracle on Ice.
You know, I feel like this
Sean would have left early. He would have said, fuck this.
Yeah. Let's go across the street to drink, kid.
Yeah, ripping butts inside the arena back then, I bet.
I would say the 28-3 Super Bowl, but I definitely would have been left. I would have been out of there at halftime.
You said Lady Gaga, I'm out.
Yeah, Lady Gaga had a 28-3.
You wouldn't have survived the Lady Gaga performance. No way.
That's a thought-provoking question, though. You're right.
It really is. I thought locally, like sports, like here in Boston, but then...
Yeah, and then you're like, wait a second. Stuff beyond Boston.
There's
right?
a lot of shit that, you know, we can talk about. But yeah, no, that's an interesting question, man.
Oh, I would take one more. And this would be Joe Sway. I can't believe you didn't say this. Going, don't fuck with my seed.
Yo, I was there, Max. That's why. I was there.
Don't fuck with my seeds.
Yeah, Jerome and I were both there, so what? I lived it. I lived that shit.
Did he say that?
He said that shit. I lost it.
But the other one,
tears in my eyes.
I happened to be there. You guys probably, Joe Sway didn't tell you this, but I was actually at the Boston Marathon bombing.
Oh yeah, you were there. Yeah.
Joe Sway was kind of there too, but I was.
Yeah, you was closer than me. Yeah,
I was at the north. I walked away from the finish line about 5 minutes before the bomb went off.
Wow.
And walked down to Nordstrom's Rack, picked up a pair of shoes. As soon as I picked up the pair of shoes, you heard the whoosh. And then the next one, you heard that. Then everybody went to the window. And then there was another and I came out and I was going to walk towards where I thought the sound was. And literally, it must have been somebody said, run. And it was like thousands of people running right towards me. I run back in the Nordstrom Rack and they all go down the street. And I finally come out, see a police officer. He says, Max. I said, what's wrong? He said, go home. I said, what? Go home. There was an explosion. Wow. Down the finish line. I'm like, what? He said, yeah, everybody get hurt. He said, a couple people got killed.
That's how you found out, right?
Day that I kind of look and go, you know, it was a sports day, but it was at the same time, it was just one of those days you look back on and going, damn, did I see one of the Tenaya brothers or anything like that, you know, walking by?
Dark question. Yeah, man. Never forget that. I was probably about half a mile down from the finish line. Not even, a little closer than that. And yeah, man, that way the floor, the way the ground shook, and then it almost felt like the second one, the best way I try to describe it, it almost felt like it was like a vibration from above you. So you saw a lot of people looking up, like, what is that? Like, I guess it goes through your body. So it almost feels like you think it's something from above, but it's not. Oh, man, it was scary, man. Scary. But when you told me you was in Nordstrom Rack, I was like, man, that's closer. I believe that's closer to the finish line than I was. I was by like closer to the fire station.
Nordstrom's Rack is literally it was a 3-4 minute walk, and where he set the bomb right at the finish line.
You felt it worse than I did.
By that bomb that was in that trash can.
Jeez. Damn,
crazy.
I'm Alex Rodriguez,
and I'm Jason Kelly
from Bloomberg. This is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Wow.
I'm saying, that day was, I'll never forget that day, man. It was probably the most nervous I've ever been in my life, honestly, in that moment.
So I get back to that question, Joel, what would be your three moments?
I'll throw out the 04, the Sox, that's one. The second one here. I'll probably say, because I was a huge fan of his when I was growing up, Charles Barkley. So I'd say
I was thinking that
the game. I'll say the triple overtime game against the Bulls, the Suns and Bulls. I think it was game. If I'm not mistaken.
Max. Back in the day, you couldn't say shit about Charles Barkley to Joel. It was not allowed. Even when he was gaining weight, everything. Joel's like, he's the goat. All right. Back then, even Joel was using that term. Yo, he's one of the goats.
The triple overtime game that tied the series. It was game four. And I'm referring to the 1993 NBA Finals between the Phoenix Suns and the Chicago Bulls. So this was right before Jordan retired the first time.
Right.
Yeah, I would like to go back. I would like to be in the stadium because I was 9 years old and I wasn't supposed to stay up past like halftime. And I
was out by the second quarter, Max. I was sleeping by the second quarter.
And Papa Pavone and Mom Pavone were out. So I just every time I went to commercial, I kept looking and like, no one saying nothing to me. I'm watching this game, and it just kept going. It was about the longest game I've ever seen. I felt like, I mean, at the time, obviously. Yeah, that's probably number two. Number three. Damn. Put me on the spot here.
It's whatever it is, man. You know it's right there.
Yeah, man. Just whatever.
All right. I'd say Maradona's last World Cup game ever, which was here, which was here in at Foxborough, the old Foxborough Stadium.
There you go. There you go.
Against Nigeria. Argentina against Nigeria.
Not the head.
Papa Pavone went to that game, but I didn't go, but I would love to have been there.
Okay. Oh, that's a shot of Pops, yo. That's fucked.
Nah. That was his favorite play. That's his favorite play of all time.
Who do you have, my brother?
All right, I'm gonna go Jordan's first championship, because I feel like we would just miss all of that, like that early Jordan energy. We saw the late Jordan, so I'm gonna take.
Yeah, we definitely do.
I mean, I sort of remember it, but you didn't appreciate it, obviously, because
you're young. Still watching it now, like watching The Last Dance, we brought all that back.
Against Magic too, like that's crazy. Like it's like passing the torch, young, essentially.
Yeah, I'll take. I'll go back to my childhood. I was a huge Emmitt Smith Cowboys fan. Any one of those Super Bowls in the 90s where they were taking over, and then you got to bring in.
Great question.
Then I'm just thinking of, like, you got to go Red Sox 04. That just the elect.
That's our shit, Max. Told you.
Actually, right now, today is the day.
Today's the day.
What is it?
Where we at? Is it game 4? Did Rob still second?
Today. Yeah. 16, 17 years ago now, whatever it is.
The first of the 4 days in October, yes.
18 years ago. So yeah,
Max loves to make fun of me for this, but that game would have been
the one to go to right there. Yeah.
All right, Jokes, where you up?
All right, I'm gonna go. So what's the first one that I said? I said
Jordan 98.
So Jordan 98. Jordan 98. The shot.
Yeah.
The only thing about 04, I wish it was in maybe not the World Series, but I, you know what? I'm still gonna go. Fuck it. Game seven. Sox being the Yankees, just seeing that live and just seeing everyone, like the Yankees fans disappointed, I'm gonna go with that one. Fuck it. Like, I know it's not the World Series, but that in so many other ways meant so much more. You know what I mean? Because it's like, oh, we finally beat the fucking, and we did it in the most historic way possible. And to see it at Yankee Stadium, yeah, I'm gonna put that one in there for sure. Mm-hmm. And then, the third one, I gotta go, the Brady comeback against the Falcons, man. Mm. I know. Most of these are like from 98 on, or yeah, 98 and up. You know, it's not nothing from like historic, but I'm selfish like that. It's the shit that I lived through. And yeah. I'm like, man, I would like to be there. So,
well, that's what I was thinking, the same thing when I was like the 80s.
You're thinking about stuff that happened when we were alive. That's the thing, right? Yeah. I should expand though. I should, but just to keep the show rolling, get some Celtics talk in here before we say bye to Mac. But real quick, Mac. Just what's your overall impression of this team, man? How are you feeling about this? You know, they've been through a lot. If you think about what happened in September and Joe Mazzulla being placed in this big spot and everyone coming off of the NBA Finals appearance. But how do you feel about this team going in? Like, are they a top four team? Are they going to get back to the finals? Where do you stand?
I want to see first, because to me, Ime was a huge part of what they did.
Absolutely.
Ime had a relationship with these guys that he made accountable. He made, as much as, you know, I love Marcus Smart, the times when Marcus would get a little squirrely out there.
Squirrely, I like that. We're going to use that a lot this season. Squirrely, I like that.
Well, I was talking to Ime one time, and I said about Marcus and driving. He said, I told Marcus, I said, Marcus, you got one of those a game. That's all you got. And I said, Marcus will make one of them crazy passes or something like that. He'll screw it up. And he'll hit his chest on the chest. My bad. He said, yep, that's your one.
That's the last one.
I want to know the personal relationship that Tatum had, that Brown had with Ime. That, to me, pushed them further along. Now, have they grown as players that they don't need that no more?
Right.
That's going to be the question. Are they that self-motivated? And you think about Tatum coming off the year. I was just doing the card show, and we were talking about Tatum, and he said, if Tatum had won the championship, he said his basketball card was going to be off the chain. For them to lose it the way they did, nobody saw Andrew Wiggins outplaying Tatum. Nobody saw that.
Yeah, he put the clamps on him, man. He locked him down for sure.
The difference, and And Lord have mercy, we know how Draymond, you know, affected the series. You know,
your boy Draymond.
Oh God, Jesus. that was only because we had a YouTuber right there filming everything I did that day.
Yeah, don't even start.
Let me just say this to you, and I'm gonna be as clear as I can.
Well, hell, what you
that shit. Wait a minute. Hold on. That shit Draymond Green was doing during the 80s, he got knocked the fuck out.
See, but that's a whole difference. That's a difference in our basketball. Yeah, okay, our basketball is okay. Different.
Brother was right there. Your brother was TMZ Plus.
Yo,
back
yo.
Investigative reporter.
Let me tell you something, Max.
Yeah. Let me
tell you something. You know what irked me, and I know what irked you even before you said it. It irked you. The fact that he was talking like you wasn't right there.
Yeah,
that just irked the hell out of me.
Wait, you're talking about the second one, right?
The Draymond with the Gary Payne and talking about Max with Max being right there. And he's like, didn't acknowledge him. I was like, yo, what is up with this dude? Like, nah, yo.
Hold on, did you stand up for your damn self?
But fuck that. He can't come to you like he got a friend talking about me.
I can talk to you all I want to, mother. And that's how that goes.
That's what I'm saying.
What he saying?
That's what I was saying.
You know what I'm saying?
It was said like that.
Come on now.
Well, I don't know. It was said.
Come on now.
What's said then?
And by the way, I wouldn't have said that to you if he wasn't standing right there.
I followed him out. I was like, Draymond, I'm standing right here.
For real.
Say to me.
He just got mad because Gary agreed with you. That's why. He's like, oh, you're supposed to be on my side because your son is my teammate. All right, man, settle down. It's not that. Everyone's got their opinion. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the new media ain't going to go nowhere with that type of nonsense that he likes to like to stir up or whatnot.
Ain't that the bitch how karma is?
real quick, I gotta ask this. Is he gonna be a Warrior past this year?
No.
Okay.
And he might not get past this year. And because he has an optional contract, I don't think so. I think you start looking at those guys like Wiseman and people like that. For what he does, he is very unique. His skill level essentially is to pass it to the best shooters in the world. And he does that really well. I give him that. But the scoring and all those other things have gone down, and you replace that. That's going to be the question right now for the Warriors. They're going to have an aging Draymond who wants a big deal, big money deal. Are you going to give him that money deal? A better question right now will be, how good is Kyrie going to be this year when the contract is coming up? Is he on Good Boy Patrol right now? Is Kyrie Irving gonna fuck up any?
Yeah.
There's no such thing as a normal Kyrie. Give him like 2 days.
People are giving him the benefit of the doubt because I'm seeing a lot of people putting the Nets in the top five, top four. You know, Eastern Conference standings, and I'm just like, well, wait a minute, like, what's helped them during the offseason?
What's changed?
Ben Simmons is in uniform again. I guess you get Joe Harris back, but is that enough? Like, can these guys figure this thing out so it's not another first round knockout? I'm not saying that's going to be the case, but I don't have them in my top five, or at least top four, I should say. Maybe they get that fifth spot. I don't know.
They are the enigma for me. Because I wouldn't be surprised if they got swept. But I wouldn't be surprised if they were a dominant team.
They upset like the East or something.
That's the wild card. To me, that's the wild card of the East. Because you don't know which way they're going to go. So, Max, in keeping with the Eastern Conference, you know, the top tier of the Eastern Conference, where do you have the Celtics and who are the rest of the teams in your opinion?
Thank you for putting me on the spot.
I had to return the favor after, you know, putting me on the spot earlier.
Man. Joel's life flash four eyes.
I'm going to say two. I'm going to go with number two. I think that Milwaukee with, bringing back Middleton, some of the players they have right now, some of the additions they have, to me, I still believe that they're the best team. And because you still have the best player right now in the world in Giannis. And so if you look at it from that standpoint, Tatum and Brown, the big thing about them, again, is their relationship. did they learn enough from Ime to not be under his wing and perform at a high level? That's going to be the question, because you can see there were times when Ime pulled Tatum to the side and, you know, talked to him and, you know, stroked them and all this stuff. And it seemed like things really worked out well for him last year. Have they grown past that leadership, and can Joe bring, you know, bring his touch in? And you're talking about a guy, how old is he right now? 34, Joseph?
Yeah, man, he's younger than all of us. I mean,
younger, he's younger than you guys?
Yeah.
Okay. Got a young coach.
He's the youngest coach in the NBA right now, I think.
Max, when people on TV were like, man, 34 is just so young, I'm like, damn right it is. Hell yeah.
Unless you're a player in the league, and they're like, oh, man, you're on the wrong side of 30.
Yeah.
They're like, wait, 34 is young? What the hell? I'm a spring chicken, then. Yeah.
I'm a reverse pivot here and ask you guys what y'all think about the Lakers.
The Lakers?
They'll make the playoffs.
Barely.
They'll make the playoffs. Barely.
The Lakers are all about, it's Anthony Davis. If he can stay healthy and play with LeBron, they can make the playoffs.
But LeBron's after one thing this year, and that's to pass Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. So if he
doesn't care.
Yeah. Oh, this year's about that.
It's all about that.
And then next year's about his son, right?
Yeah.
Bronny's going to be eligible.
So essentially,
that's
yeah.
That's what it's all about.
I think the West is going to be way too tough for the Lakers to make any real noise, but if Anthony Davis stays healthy and Westbrook stays on the bench, then they still don't have any
shooters.
Yeah.
No
shooters. But
in the Western Conference, you got dudes right now shooting from down near half court.
Yeah.
You got to be able to match that. You got to be able to get Luka. You got to be able to think about what's going to happen when you play against Golden State. And will another wild card is going to be, you know, in Phoenix, will they bounce back?
Yeah. Will Lakers need
all their controversy, or will the Clippers finally not tease us again like some, you know, some person back in the day, Joel, be telling you, yeah, baby, come over to my house and my daddy's gone. No, my daddy's right here. You can't come in. The Clippers still going to be just like that again.
The Clippers are definitely the they're like the linchpin of that whole, like, Western Conference. If they make the run, they could be the best team in the Western Conference. But if they don't, I think it opens up spots for the Lakers to make a run. Like the Warriors can make a run again.
Yeah.
Denver.
Well, let me ask you this, Max. If you were a betting man, would you put all your money that the Larry O'Brien Trophy is going to be heading east this year? Something tells me it's going to be heading east, whether it's the Celtics or another team. I don't know. I think the East comes back and wins it.
I think it's the Eastern Conference year.
That's what I'm thinking.
But as good as Golden State is, they were very beatable last year.
Oh, yeah.
The Celtics. Celtics really should have won another title. But
they just weren't ready yet, man. They weren't ready yet.
I feel that they're going to be – is Clay going to be Clay again? You know, Steph is going to be Steph. But will Wiseman give them – they are loaded for Bear, though. And now, how is the Jordan Poole punch – how is that going to affect what
– Jordan Poole punch. The punch heard around the world, seen around the world.
Yeah, I mean, that's like the two questions going into the two teams that came off the finals. It's like – Jordan Poole got punched in the face and Ime Udoka slept around. Like, those are the two things.
Not the same thing, but yeah, I see what you're going with that.
On the 300th episode, those are the title runs right now that we have.
Exactly. Those are the biggest questions.
Ime slept around.
Both teams.
Who gets punched in the face?
Who would have wrote that? You know what I mean? Like,
who would have thought months later, like, are these two teams going to have some kind of controversy going into the new season?
I mean, you look at it, is Jokic going to be the MVP again this year?
I mean, it could be.
That's tough because you got other players out there like
Luka. Porter Jr.'s back.
Luka's going to be the MVP this year.
I mean, Kawhi Leonard, if he stays healthy, you know, you can't put him out.
Luka couldn't guard me right now.
Yeah. Dude doesn't care about defense when it comes to Luka.
He ain't on that track. And I think that he is Larry Bird-like. When I think about his ability to score and score, I think how it was when essentially he was hunting LeBron when they played him. He's like, where's LeBron so he can guard me? Well, let me get a switch so I can get LeBron on me. And that is respect, but yeah. At the same time, it just shows you that Father Time is not lost yet. That, you know, and nobody was, and during the time when LeBron was one of the top defenders, when nobody hunted LeBron for them to guard. And now you see LeBron defensively, LeBron doesn't get back. LeBron doesn't guard his man. LeBron is not, you know, his basketball IQ is still high, but his body is telling them to do something. No, man. Your body's saying, no, I can't do that.
He's like, against the Kings? Nah, not tonight.
My body says, you know, those are the teams that are going to hurt the Lakers that we're going to see. They're going to hurt them. It's going to be the OKCs of the world. And OKC's going to want to lose. Yeah. But it's going to be...
Memphis. Memphis would be good.
We haven't talked about Memphis. We haven't even talked about, you know, Sacramento was essentially, you know, did whatever they wanted to do with the Lakers last year. And I'll give you guys one, which I think is, you know, for your 300 episode that you can ask. I was just thinking about this. What is the best chant that you probably heard over the last, you know, since you guys have been around? And I'll give you one. This would be the one I'll go with since you guys wearing your Red Sox hat and all this shit on right now.
For the record, there's only one of us wearing a Red Sox hat.
I was like this. Who's your daddy? That was a good man. Yeah,
still to the life of me, I don't know why Pedro said that. I still don't know.
We all collectively was like, damn it, Pedro.
What the fuck?
Why'd you see this?
Damn it. Who's your daddy?
Like, imagine
me. That's some shit Sox fans would come up with. So we're like, yo, that's pretty clever, man. Pretty funny.
Yeah. Yo, like, imagine like memes like existing back then. And like, that would have been awful. Man. That would have been awful.
Dude, all of the photoshops of Pedro Martinez, yeah, it would have been.
The gifts
would have been like a baby on the Yankees' lap or Steinbrenner's lap.
Is there any other chant that you can think about in you guys' lifetime that, you know?
Me and Ducha can attest to this because we were there live, and I think it was the last time the Celtics played the Nets before the playoffs. You know, the fuck you, Kyrie chance. You know,
you know what I told you.
To the point that Tatum had to tell everybody to calm down. That's how bad it got.
And that was one of the, and that's when I knew it was the growth of Tatum.
Yeah.
Like, this ain't about Kyrie right now. Kyrie, I don't even know if it was even there. But I remember.
No, he was there. He was there.
Somebody,
that was the one he finally showed up.
Somebody told me that they were chanting that at the Red Sox game.
Oh yeah, yep. Yeah. That was like that was. City, I think that was after. Yeah, that was after the playoffs. I think they just was randomly just chanting that, which was great.
Yeah, I think it made it to a Bruins game as well. It made it all over. It made it all around.
That's just called the loyalty of the Boston sports fan. That's what that's called.
Yeah, thing is, we never even did LeBron like that. Like really, that hard, like of hatred. Just like
he would shut up the fan.
Oh yeah, that was the worst. The minute you said anything, the minute any LeBron sucks chant ever started, won like a 15-0 run on his own. Yeah,
man. That was one of the most devastating nights for me watching LeBron come in here, and I think it was Game 6.
Yeah. Game six.
Yep, 2010. Man,
that was like him. That was like watching a grown man playing against kids. He came out on a mission. I talked to Pat Riley about that later on. And Alonzo Mourning, they said they knew LeBron was going to have that kind of game because he said LeBron used to say something to them before he would go out on the floor. He said LeBron didn't even say anything. He was totally in that zone that you're going, oh my God. It's just like, but that was an amazing, amazing run right there that LeBron came in on. And I'm like, damn, that you just had to give it to that dude.
Yeah. That was a tough one. That was the nail in the coffin of that big three too. That was the worst part about it.
All right, we'll get you out on this, Max. Tatum, Jaylen, which one has the better year? I'm just asking because it's what the people want. That's like the new conversation right now with the way Jaylen's been playing throughout the preseason. But I mean, obviously these two had to take a step in leading this team and guiding them on another level for sure. But how do you see this thing playing out in terms of that dynamic of them two playing together?
Well,
taking things to another level.
I think the most consistent guy is going to be Brown. The most explosive guy is going to be Tatum. He's going to have nights when he is all world. Mm-hmm. He's like, damn, you didn't do that, and you didn't do that. It was like the game he played, the game the Celtics played in L.A. after Kobe passed away. One of them games like
41 overtime, yeah.
Who was it? He did the stutter step on, and the dude went down to his knees and knocked down. I mean, the crowd was going ballistic.
A Sunday matinee, too. What a show.
What a show. Ballistic out there. And for the Celtics to lose that game, it's just like, wow. That's what you talk about, Tatum being among the elites. Mm-hmm. What separates him to me among the elites, and I know it's a new era, and you guys always hear me talk about this, what I hate is a fucking brotherhood that you have. I hate it. I mean, I am Jason Tatum. I am not taking a picture with Draymond Green at a fucking wedding.
Mm-hmm. After you, yep. It kind of goes back to what you said about that. About Tatum, you know, calming the crowd down with the whole "fuck you, Kyrie" chants, right? Would he have done that if it was another, like "fuck you" to somebody else? I don't know.
Yeah.
I think because he's cool with Kyrie, he's like, "Oh, come on, man, that's my boy. Don't do that." You know?
Yeah. I don't know, but it's just that, like, those are the things that bother me about the new NBA. You know, the love affair people have with, everybody loves their kids and all that, but. I think Deuce is a great story, but I really kind of feel really strange. Like, this kid's in a bubble, which is unreal for anybody to be in. Jason Tatum's son to be, you know, adored the way he is, or you know, was it Steph Curry's daughter for a while? You know,
oh yeah, Riley.
It was like, you know, Riley. Oh my God, Riley. Like, These are kids, and part of that, I don't know if they're allowed to be kids in the new NBA, because the kids are identified just as much as their dads.
Right, they're already celebrities. They're not in movies or TV shows, just from being the son of a superstar.
How does that affect you, man?
Or daughter. I mean,
really, you think about who you are, and you know, Kobe Bryant, it was his daughter after a while, and you read about her and all that, but...
Oh, the team!
Yes, to me, they put a lot of other emphasis in the NBA, which I didn't think was there. Like last year was Steph Curry's mom and dad, Dale Curry, and his his mother. That was another big NBA story. Oh my God!
What do you mean? Wait, you talking about the divorce? How they split? Or what do you mean?
Well, no, the wife was with the guy.
Wait, being facetious.
Else got didn't now like it when Dale was with the man's wife.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
It was the way Mike explains it. Like watching Atlanta Housewives.
one was on the other side of the court, and the other one was on the opposite side. And it's just like, the camera didn't know what to do. Like, should we pan to the mother? Should we pan to the father? Like, what do we do here?
Don't go to the dad first. You know, it's like that. That was the storyline to me was...
After he broke the record, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, I saw Dell like moments after the trophy ceremony. I just went up to him, you know, congratulations, everything. I was like, hey, man, you got a few... Midway through, he just kind of looked at me. I was just like, don't worry about it, man. It's all good. But I appreciate it, man. Appreciate it.
He was like, please.
Enjoy your night, bro. Enjoy your night. I put my phone away so quick. Like, I'm not recording it. Enjoy your night, bro. Congrats again.
Damn.
Cheers, my dude, you said.
But I did get to catch up with Sonya. Nothing on camera, nothing like that. But I wrote something about it. But yeah, that was it though. But Dell, that was like, please, man, don't. All right, gotcha.
Yeah. I mean,
understood.
It's gonna be interesting here in the East. People have written another team off that we don't talk about is Miami.
Yeah, man, they're hungry.
Miami was good. Miami was really good. They had a chance.
Game 7. Yep. Came down to the wire.
Jimmy Butler he's still a beast.
Yeah, no, Jimmy, you're right. Jimmy Butler's still a beast. Kyle Lowry, he's getting old.
Yeah,
that's true. Bam's getting into his prime, and they got shooters, man. So I think they're gonna be right there. But I'm
it's about those role players, right, Sean? Like, so, you know, do they take another step? You know, Gabe Vincent, like these undrafted guys, these like diamond in the rough that Miami draft or they trade for, and then they blossom into everyday starters, man. It's impressive.
Was it Dude's name that used to be with the Celtics and?
Max Struss. Yeah.
If you're tearing out the teams in the East, though, right? It's the Celtics, the 76ers, the Heat, the Bucks, not in any order. So there, and then like the Nets, and then I'm gonna throw the Cavs into that mix.
Not you too, Sean. Yeah. You and Max with this Cleveland.
Yes, man.
I just don't. You just
better
don't
than know. Better than the Hawks?
Oh hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Right. I didn't think hell yeah good, but okay. All right.
Oh hell yeah good.
Everyone loves this damn team, man.
Man, I'm telling you what, that dude, when they went out and got Mitchell.
Yeah, that's a big move.
Mitchell coming to the East. Yeah. He gonna open up some people's eyes. Cause you know, we don't get a chance to see him the way we saw him.
That's a good point.
Very true.
But he's gonna be a beast, man. And they already have those young players out around him, and all of them got young legs. Mobley's gonna be good. You know, how do they come back with all these other guys? They're a team right now that's gonna be contending for a playoff. And then everybody else at the bottom, they're trying to get to the Frenchman. That's all they want. Yeah. If they start winning the game, they're gonna be like, whoa, 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 wait a minute. We just want to be in the lottery so we get a chance. When you start hearing about the young man coming from France, they're saying that
whatever
franchise he goes to, that franchise is going to go up by almost $500,000 with him coming to him.
Easy.
Biggest prospect since LeBron, Max. Crazy,
which is crazy because, like, where was it? Why were we talking about this guy, like, 6 months ago? Where did he come from? Like,
France, man.
But okay, got it. But I thank you. But I'm just saying, like, there's been no pub on him. He gets into these G League games, and he's just
there was actually pub on him over the last couple of years. It was they showed him playing. I happened to see a tape of it. They showed him playing Rudy Gobert over France when he was like
about. Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
And, like, who is this damn?
Yeah, because they were like he did it with ease. Yeah.
He's playing. I mean, he's playing Gobert straight up, running around. So yeah, there was pub out there. There's nobody who slept on him except maybe people who didn't really follow that part of the NBA. And now he was read about
this summer. Yeah, this summer he's been.
This summer he blew up, but I think it was the first real like national look at him in game action. So yeah. I mean. Yeah, I think there is probably like 5 or 6 teams in the Eastern Conference that are like, we are losing every game.
you don't think your boy Danny's saying that, Max? Danny Ainge is like, tankathon.
That's why you think Danny got rid of all them guys?
He
got Donovan.
He said, I'm going to get it this time.
The only reason why Donovan didn't go to the Knicks is because the Knicks were like, he wanted like 10 picks, you know, the firstborn of like, you know, 5 players. They're like, nah, man, we can't do it, bro. We can't do it. Sorry, Danny.
The Knicks should have.
You got to draw a line somewhere.
You have to name your son Danny.
The Knicks, that kid is that good. And the Knicks picks traditionally haven't really been a bunch of really good picks.
No.
If you think about it. Yeah. So, you know, Danny's just trying to cash in. Danny is tearing it down to the studs, you know, all the way down to the. And Danny. And that puppy back over, and he
pictured a bunch of
cash, a bunch of rebuild, and the people in Utah probably right now are going to be patient. But man, how would you like to be a season ticket holder right now?
No,
not good, not good. No good. No good.
Oh, man.
It's not what I signed up for.
And it also makes me think, like, how close was Danny Ainge when he to trade Paul Pierce back in the day? If he just got in there and immediately just goes, boom, see you later, Gobert.
Well, Sean, imagine how he felt on draft night in 2007. You know, I would have been like, how the fifth? We got the fifth pick?
Yeah, because essentially he guaranteed when he came in here, he said, give me 5 years. Give me 5 years and this team will be a contender. So he was like.
And that was year what, four?
That was year five, I think, because he was just like, yo, like, I gotta, like, this is it. Like, if I don't do this, we ain't going nowhere. We ain't going nowhere, and my ass is going to get fired.
Yeah, I got a great story from Dana Barros.
Yeah, I was going to say, how'd you find out?
Dana Barros, I did an autograph signing with him yesterday. I'm probably going to get him on my podcast, but Dana told me this was amazing to me. He said, the first day of practice, Rick Pitino walks in, he said, Purvis, Dana, Rick Fox, himself.
Greg Minor.
He said, let me tell you something. I don't want you fucking guys here. This is the first day. But I just couldn't trade your asses.
Oh, damn.
And then he said,
like, huddled around and shit?
Okay, let's go play.
Yeah.
Go team. All right. Everybody, hands in here. Hands in here. Ooh, all three.
He told me the third. I was like, what?
Tank.
That was the first thing he said. He had never even met him. He
wow.
Had never met him at all. And that was the first.
Like, he's like, you guys ever heard of a man named Travis Knight?
Or, and Rick came in with mentality. He was firing people and sending people away. You know, Johnny Joe, who's a great equipment manager now, essentially was the fiance to his babysitter. And he just balled him in and gave him a job that he didn't even know what he was doing. it was and firing secretary who had been in the office for 25 years.
So the opposite of email, essentially.
Oh, but okay. We don't know which way that was, but man, that was
Wait, firing second. Yeah. Max just dropped his phone. He was so he was like, whoa.
But the way he told the story, and he told me, he said, D Brown, he said, I don't want y'all asses here.
What did D say? He would have been like, goddamn. Okay, here, like,
I thought I was a captain. Yeah, what the hell?
Somebody tapping each other on the leg and stuff. It was. I was like, wow. He said, yeah, man.
Oh, man.
Rick Pitino came in here on a power grab, man, and was doing whatever he wanted to do. And the team just kind of followed suit. Larry Bird had a handshake deal with Larry Brown to coach the Celtics. And Rick heard about that, came back and said, no, I want the job and I want the money. And I want this person, and I want my title. I want a title ahead of Larry Bird. I want a title that's equal right now to Arbat. And
so many assumptions.
It was unreal to hear him say, "Like, damn, Rick."
We like to call those the pressing years. You're a Celtics fan.
Those are the years I walked into, man.
Rick Pitino came in.
And I'm like, Dad. You want me to be a Celtics fan?
Came in as a godfather. He would know that with that scene of the Godfather where he says, the Tucci dead. Such as that's dead.
Dana, God. D, you're out of here. Rick Purvis, Fox, I don't know why you're even still here.
Purvis all of a sudden gone. You know, it's like.
Everyone's like, why didn't you leave with Purvis?
Yeah.
Todd Date, out of here.
Yeah. Oh, I love Todd Day, man. He was gone so quick.
Go ahead and get Travis Knight though. Give him a bunch of money.
Gave him the bag back then.
Because he was the best offensive rebounder per minute when he was getting like two rebounds per 7 minutes or so.
The very, very beginning of analytics, the
rough draft, if you will, of analytics.
The analytics era, yeah. Some dude from Harvard gave him his data and was like, listen to this, Rick.
Sign him up. Give him a 7-year deal. Give him a 7-year deal immediately.
If you played him every minute of every game, he'd get you
10 rebounds tops.
Max, we appreciate you, man. We're going to wrap up there, man. We could talk for hours.
I'll let you.
All
right, Max, thanks again.
Good stuff.
Damn, yo.
I'm fucking dying right now. But that's what it's like to do a podcast with Cedric Maxwell, man.
That shit was great.
Right? That dude, you know, he'll go all over the place and it's fun, but like you just never know where you're going. That's the fun part.
Yeah, we definitely got to have him back on Causeway Street again. Yeah, that was great. Yeah,
absolutely.
Causeway, you know, Cedric connection right there. Great.
Yeah, man, I had no clue where the next thing was going, but you know what?
This is the quietest interview I've ever seen Sean a part of.
Sean was like, is this
he
how?
He was so entertained.
I was.
Is this how I am when we do the podcast? Just us two?
Yeah. Am I all over the place?
No. I was just stoked we got Stevie Wonder in there.
I was wondering if you're going to say anything. That's why let me throw this. Let me throw this softball thing in here and see if he knocks it out the park.
When he said, can Stevie see?
He's like, wait a second. Lost it. Are you asking if Stevie can see?
Yes.
He's like, I'm not touching that one, but.
I wish people could see. The FaceTime. The look on his face was so confused.
Yeah, he was like, the guy who was blind since birth? That guy?
No, he was like, I just don't see how
he. No, he's thinking.
He's been faking his sight.
No. He's thinking if he says yes, he's going to be a fucking headline tomorrow. Like the moment that this podcast is released. Like, Max thinks that Stevie Wonder.
Fucking TMZ is like, the Causeway Street podcast. Cedric Maxwell thinks that Stevie Wonder can't see. He thinks it's been a hoax his whole life.
I swear to God, it should be asked at political debates. It should be all over. Everyone needs to pick a side. Pick a fucking side, guys.
Can you imagine the president asked a question like at some random debate, just like, yeah, and my next question here is has nothing to do with any like issues that you guys have, you know, spoken about, but the people gotta know.
Stevie Wonder. The famed singer.
Do you guys think he can sing?
Lying or not?
Lying? Yes? No? You catch everybody off guard. Like, what? Stevie Wonder, the singer? Like, the famous? Like,
you know what's funny, too, man? The fact that just randomly came up. Stevie Wonder is like Jay-Z to Max, bro. That's like his favorite singer. So for you to say that.
That's fucking awesome, bro. That's awesome.
Like, I'm glad you guys didn't know that.
That's great. That's awesome.
And, you know, next time if we're going to go all-time sports events, we should probably plan in the
Seriously, yo. And at first I thought he was asking about just locally, but he was like, no, like of all time.
That's a very hard question to go.
Oh, back. I know, man. That's tough. Yeah, you was definitely stumped. That's a tough interview for you, huh, Sean? Sean's like, yeah, I don't. He's like, what do I say here?
Like, what do I?
No, I was good.
It's like Max has stolen my thunder.
I mean, I had a couple questions lined up, but I was like, let's just let this thing roll, man. Like,
he's like, we got Stevie Wonder talk 5 minutes in.
I want to see where this ends up.
Let's see where this ends up.
Oh, man. Yo, it's good to be back, guys. Good to be back, man.
Yeah.
300 episodes. Flies by.
Crazy. Flies by.
No, man, we're back, though. We're back, and we're back in action, man. What are we going to do? We're committing to weekly episodes, bro. Let's go. We're going to be doing it. We're actually getting back into the swing of things. I'm excited about the season.
Yeah, for sure, man. I think this team is going to be a fun one to watch. I think, you know, beyond the headlines of what they've been going through the last, like, month or so, it's just the talent is there. I mean, it's unfortunate that we're not going to see what Gallinari could be, you know, off the bench. But, man, the addition of Malcolm Brogdon, the way these guys have just looked, you know, throughout those preseason games, and they're two superstars, and Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum. I mean, look, Tatum is sort of seems like he's going through the motions, but I don't mean I'm concerned about him. But Jaylen, I think he's going to take things to another level, man. I really do. And I think that's significant for this team. And the only lingering shadow is going to be, and it's going to continue all season long, it's going to be Robert Williams. Like, how is he going to look when he gets back? Yeah. How long is it going to take? Will he ever be the same guy he was? And you know what? I'm all right with that. If he comes back at full strength, you know, at some point after the All-Star break, I don't think that's the worst thing in the world. I think you ride that wave from then through, you know, the postseason, because that's not what you had last season.
Yeah.
People forget that Rob was not only, you know, banged up throughout the postseason, but he just wasn't that guy
who was such a big piece of that historic finish to the regular season, right? I just think that's the part of this that people are going to forget. But if they can get back to that point, you know, without Ime, of course, and Jalen Tatum are connecting on a different level, and there's no injuries with Jalen, because that was a part of this thing, you know, last season as well. I like this team's chances to get back to the finals. I really do. I don't think they'll be a top two seed in the East, but I really like their chances of getting back to the finals and just going through the lumps of the course of a regular season. I don't think it's going to be easy. I really don't. I think that's a good thing for this team. You know, the Bucks are still number one, in my opinion, in the East. I think Miami and Philly are in the mix as well. But then there's Boston right there, you know. So I don't think they've fallen off completely out of the top four, you know, top teams in the East, because they won't have Rob Williams until probably, you know, in 2023. I think they have enough talent to carry things over. I really do.
I think you learned last year that this team can definitely turn a half of a season into something that is sustainable. Like, you know, it may be a slow start out the gate with all the changes, new players coming in, Rob not being here, new coach, new system, all that stuff is going to happen. But I don't think we panic this year the way we started to panic last year. But the only thing that like sort of gets me about the whole Rob Williams things is that's just going to be annoying, man, because there's going to be so much pressure to rush the guy back if they get off to a slow start. Like, when's Rob coming back? What's going on with that? Like, that's frustrating to me, because that's how it always is with Rob Williams, and I don't think it's ever going to change. So,
well, I mean,
well, that's not good. That's not good.
No, yeah, it's not. But I don't think
that's frustrating as hell, man.
No, but I don't think they're going to do that though. Like, if they say he's going to be out, you know, 2 to 3 months, then no one should expect him to come back sooner than that. Well, the team. Forget the fans. The fans are going to think whatever they're going to think. I'm talking about the team, players. This roster shouldn't expect him to come back any sooner than 2 to 3 months. Well,
I think what they got to do is they got to come out and say it. Like, all these reports to come out and say, like, Rob's looking good. Like, no, like, tell us.
I got you. No, I know. It's like if, you know, Gallinari earlier in the week he had his first press conference since, you know, this ACL diagnosis and, you know, getting surgery. Just because he's walking around for the first time since then, and I don't think anyone's saying, oh, shit, maybe he'll be back in a month or two. Like, no, like, it's, we got to be realistic here. Because Robert Williams essentially during media day was like, yo, I rushed it. Like, I'm not going to fucking lie. I rushed it. I don't regret it.
But no regrets.
Exactly. Yeah. No regrets. But at the same time, you know, he's like, I'm not going to do that this time around, because it's at the beginning of the season and it's not the end. So I don't think this stuff is going to get off to a slow start because of what they went through last year. And I get it. You know, it's Joe Mozilla versus Ime. But, you know, some of that DNA is still there. You know, it's and even Joe was like, you know, we learned last season, paraphrasing what he said, we learned last season that defense is a top priority, but like, maybe we want to speed it up a little bit more on offense. And maybe that's where the little bit of the smaller lineups, you'll see that more so than you did last year.
I know, this just got to change you though, right? Like, if you're Tatum and Brown, and it's like, man, we were 2 wins away. Tatum talked about it in the, I don't know if it was the interview from media day, or if it was the interview from, you know, in SI, but he was like, I literally saw these guys celebrating on the parquet. Like, that didn't sit well with me. And I'm like, good.
And they were still celebrating at Draymond's like wedding, like that. You know, that's fucked up.
Yeah, that's what Max would have said. But yeah, I mean, listen, like, good. That's supposed to sting. It's like, you know, the way people talk about how they can remember the song, the celebration song, or they can remember Confetti Fall, and it's like, oh, this is my court. Like, what's going on? You know what I mean? Like,
smart. Good. Smart, like, said it too. Smart was like, I was looking at, like,
let that resonate, and then come back even stronger. So I just think in what who these people are personally. You know, Joel, yeah, good point. Marcus Smart, Tatum, Brown, that's got to affect them. That's got to build a chip on the shoulder. Yeah. And I just look, it can't be easy for Joe Mazzulla. I agree. You know, especially when it comes to like late game execution and making those tough calls, and whether he, you know, holds players accountable, calls them out to the media. All of that is going to be interesting to see how he navigates, you know, through those tough times. But at the end of the day, these are the guys that you have to say, look, you're grown enough. You reached this point. You know, this is it. And if you fall short against the Bucks or whatever, you know, Eastern Conference Finals, I mean, that's still in the car. I mean, that's still a possibility. But I don't see this team being 500 around Christmas. Okay, put it that way. Like, I don't see them
I don't see history repeating itself 1 year later. You know, not with these guys. I don't think they're there. I don't think it's like more growing pains. I just think at this point it's like, can they get back to the finals? It's going to be hard. It's going to be tough, but they're in the mix. They're in the fight. You know.
Yeah, I agree. I don't see them coming out the block slow at all. And I think it's more of like a lot of people are concerned about like, oh, like the Ime thing. Like, oh, are they going to have the same like voice to lead them? But I do feel like as a players that were on the team that literally sacrificed a lot to do the Ime, you know, way of listening to a harder coach playing defense, you know, they're going to play in like a little bit of in spite of Ime. I feel like that sort of like brings the players closer together.
Yeah,
you
like the motivation.
No, you mean like outside of his style? Or
just, no, he's saying a motivation to like to win because
motivation to win, like yeah. Just to sort of prove, like yo, like
just because Ime's not here doesn't mean we still can't pull this off. Yeah.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah, like it sort of puts people together, brings the team together a little bit, and I feel like Mazzulla's gonna keep the same. They better keep the same like you know game plan since it worked out, but like you know.
He might, you know, tweak some things here and there, but like that's to be expected. You know what I mean? Because it's like he can't just sit there and just read, you know, quote for quote what Ime said last season. Because it's gonna be like, oh, all right, so what are we doing here? Are we gonna have our own identity this year, or we're gonna just be based on like Ime?
It's
like,
Mazzulla set the tone. He said, look, we're not the East Conference champs anymore.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
That was last year.
Yeah,
I like that. I like that mindset. I like that model.
No, it's the same thing. It's the same thing I was about to say before. Say that again.
What'd you say?
That they got the chip on the shoulder. There's no
exactly. It's what I was mentioning before. Like Smart, he was like looking at YouTube, like where did I go wrong, or where did the team go wrong, and his girl, whoever he was with at that moment, was like, "Yo, it's done. It's over. It's like it's."
Yeah, he said girlfriend. He said girlfriend.
All right, I was making sure.
Sound like it's a little side piece.
No, I'm just because I don't.
You're trying to make Marcus sound all
straight. No, I'm not. I'm just saying, like, you know, he was with a female companion. That's all. I wasn't sure if he said girlfriend or not.
Classifying Celtics relationships, okay?
It's hard, you know, because you know the things they go through. You know, I'm pretty sure this is someone that he didn't say any. You know, he wasn't using crude language with, or you know, improper or unwanted comments, but. The point is,
all right, that's just inappropriate.
This,
all right, y'all, you got to.
All right, now you're just being rude.
Yeah, this person told him, and he's probably relaying it to everybody. Like, yo, last year was last year. Like, what's done is done. October 18th, up until whenever you know our season ends, that's what we got to focus on. And they're obviously looking for their season to end in June while they're hoisting up the fucking Larry O'Brien Trophy. But you know, newcomers like you know Malcolm Brogdon. I know Gallinari, who's not gonna play for all we know the whole season, but he's already talking like, yo, I've seen their practices. They're locked in. Blake Griffin,
get back in the pool, I guess.
Blake Griffin, all right. Blake Griffin is like, yo, this is the fucking like, you know, them like he was surprised to see how mature this team was and how like focused and locked in they were. No matter if it was a shot at the Nets or not. But he's like, yo, this team is ready. Like, you know, even if I fucking play or not, like this team is looking fierce this year.
That's what I heard.
Hell yeah.
I heard that shit.
Hell yeah.
So, and just because they don't finish first, like this whole notion that they have to finish the first seed to like come out of the. No, it's like.
Well, who's saying that? Anyone who says that is.
No, and because.
It's ridiculous.
No,
Rob. Yeah,
but yeah, you're right.
If the team was at full strength, oh, man, look out.
No, you're right. The team is not at full strength, but. Milwaukee's not at full strength. Like Middleton is not coming back for the first like month either. No one's talking about that.
Yeah, it's getting a little sketchy, huh?
Yeah.
Miami,
like, you know, as strong as Miami has been the last few years, they didn't make any new moves. And they lost PJ Tucker. It was a big part of what they did. So
yeah.
I do love some PJ Tucker.
The Bucks aren't gonna care about Middleton in the regular season. They just want to bring him back for healthy.
I get it. No, I understand. I understand that. But like the notion that Middleton,
I had a great chance to draft him and I said, nah, man, you're
yeah.
Not the regular season away. But then you know Miami's gonna make moves to trade something.
Yeah,
like,
no, you're right. They'll probably get fucking Crowder for all we know again. No.
Yeah, everyone I have a feeling
that's gonna definitely happen, bro.
Everybody is gonna keep up with the Celtics. The Celtics are setting the bar.
You're right. And that's what I was getting at. Like, you know, like the moves before Gallinari's injury, the moves, just those two moves alone. And the NBA was like, holy shit. Like, that's exactly what that team needed. and like they're the favorite going into the regular season. Yeah, the Rob injury, you know, that kind of.
We haven't even started talking about Hauser yet, bro.
Yo, there you go.
Yeah, I tried to throw him in there with Max, but I don't think he picked up on
that. He's like, who?
Yeah, Max is just getting used to the new guys.
He's like, the what?
He's like, yo, before these would be only white, one white guy. Now there's like three.
So he's like, the great white hype, what? What's going on? Yeah, but yeah, and I don't know.
All right.
Yeah, not everybody's full strength. Let's just put it like that. That's what I wanted to say. So,
All right. Let's wrap up this show the way we wrap up every single episode here on Causeway Street. We took our trip around the NBA with Joel. In case you missed it. Joel, what we missed?
It's
been months.
Jordan Poole, right? We spoke a little bit about him, and you know, with Max. But he's finally broken his silence.
I forgot to mention he got the bag. But yeah, go ahead.
But yeah, before getting the bag,
before the bag was given,
and then I received.
They want to take pictures like a sack of like money, like the coins.
Yeah, like DuckTales, like back in the day.
Like DuckTales.
Like DuckTales. Golden fucking coins or chips or whatever.
Yeah, like mad with like 4 or 5 on the ground.
Yeah, no, but he had the tank or whatever the fuck that was. Like that he would like swim in. I was like, yo, there's no dollar bills here. Everything's in coins. Everybody gets paid in golden coins. Is that what this world is like?
Very much so concerned with the inflation and the rise and fall of the dollar. He really focused on investing.
He's like, guys, let's just keep it, you know, saloon style. You know?
Keep it gold, the currency.
fucking Mario Brother style, like with the coins?
Yeah.
All right.
Gold, and I want coins. Fuck the bars, just
all
coins.
All right, so then
everything costs like one coin.
All right, so to sum up here, before the bag of coins was received by Jordan Poole, so he could swim in afterwards, right? Before that happened, the punch saw and heard around the world happened.
Just imagine him being at the grocery store. It's like, that'll be $17. He's like, do you need gold coin?
Not even. You don't even say it. You don't even ask. You just pull it out like. Bing, bing,
bing, bing, bing. I thought you were going to say just one flip. Bing. There you go.
That's worth about 25.
Yeah, that's actually 17 grand. Right?
You just paid our rent.
Yeah.
You just bought this supermarket.
Yeah, right. So, like, oh, food, huh? That's weird.
So, you know, once the fucking video was leaked and they, you know, the Warriors fucked up by saying that they weren't going to suspend them. It was just a little small altercation. And then now they're investigating who the fuck leaked the video. We can't tell what was said before. Before the fucking, you know, punch was thrown.
I love how that was like the focus of the conversation, right? The press conference. Like, yo, we're going to get to the bottom of this.
I know, right? Like, yo, who the fuck did this shit, dude? Like, fired and
then,
everybody.
And then Draymond's press conference was just like, you know, that's not supposed to stay in.
I know, right? Yo, that was bullshit. It's like, oh.
He goes, no, I mean, he led with the whole, like, you know, I should have done this and that, but another thing.
like before.
Fuck.
Before I formally apologized, like, that was some bullshit. Yeah. Like, that shouldn't have come out, you know? And I forget, I think it was Isaiah Thomas on Twitter. Somebody on Twitter was like, all right, so it's cool to punch somebody as long as just no one knows about it. All right, that's cool. All right, it's good to know. Good to know. All right. It's good to physically assault someone as long as no one talks about it.
That's what Steve Kerr sounded like. He's just like, I've seen 20 of these throughout my career. Like, this is ridiculous. I'm like, bro, what about your guard? Your guard got him fucking knocked out. Like,
just went to sleep. Just boop. Done.
And everyone saw it. Like, everyone watched that.
Not only that, but, like, no one tried to, like, separate them. They just kind of sat there like, all right. Oh, shit, he punched him. He's knocked out. Oh, he's out.
Jason Garnett cracked me up. They were just like, oh, it was either, like, they didn't see that shit coming, or they were just like, whoa, that escalated quickly. You know, like, they either never thought he was going to do it, or they were just like, whoa. Like, they just didn't.
It would be funny.
They didn't think he would do
it. It would be funny if, like, Jordan Poole's press conference is like, yeah, you know, it was an unfortunate incident, and I'm really happy it got shown to light. You know?
to show how shit really is around here. You know,
I just want to take a moment to thank the brave soul who had the courage to leak this video to TM.
And not only that, he literally waited.
Steve Kirsten Nelly.
No one's that all right. No one heard from this motherfucker until he actually signed his contract. He's like, all right, I'm good. This is official. I'm gonna get this money. You know what the figure? 140 mil. Yeah. You know, a 4-year extension.
I'm sure you saw this, but the shit that got me cracked up was that like Jordan Poole walking into practice and said Dave Chappelle thing, like, oh, there's hide your money, there's poor people.
Oh yeah, I saw that. There's poor people out here, yo.
That shit got me fucking.
Hide the money, y'all. There's poor people around. Your broke ass.
Yeah,
this is there's poor people around here.
You gotta hide your money, y'all.
And like that, like.
So he broke his silence finally, right? He's like, yeah, you know,
what the hell did he say?
He apologized, and you know, we're planning to handle it ourselves. We're gonna play basketball, and everybody in the locker room and on our team knows that what it takes to win a championship. We're gonna do that on the court. You know, that's all I really gotta say on the matter. We're here to win championships and keep hanging banners. Anything in regards to the contract situation, the extension, us winning back-to-back championships, any basketball-related questions, I'm all ears.
And why not?
I can't see out of this one, but yeah.
If you want
to ask. No, I have not talked to fucking Draymond.
Yeah.
Not spoken to that guy.
Yeah, it's like these chain of events, though, is like right after the you know, that you know, got leaked or whatever.
That leak.
Green got, you know, he got fined in an undisclosed amount, you know, and he was like, oh, I gotta step away from the team a little bit. And I was like, nah. It's like, come on. Like, who you guys joking? You guys had this all, you guys thought you had it all worked out until the video got leaked. And then it's like, oh, shit.
Yeah. Like, we were never gonna find out about this.
Yeah. Like, it was no big deal.
The part where he gets asked, Draymond Green was asked during his presser, if he's gonna talk to anyone, is he gonna do that? He kind of scoffed. He's like, no, man, I'm going to take the time to myself. I'm like, so are you just going to fucking shoot the shit for a few days? Like, I don't know, man. I just think the whole thing is just like,
yeah,
like he got away with one.
It was a joke.
He got away
with
one. If anything, it's like, you know, we gotta look into how this dude can snap, you know? That, and then his mind is like, oh, it's like, that's the worst part of it. It's not about the fact of what he did, you know? It's about like, oh, like you guys saw me in something you were supposed to see me in. I was like, no, man, like, maybe you should calm down, you know, like, maybe, this is a good time for you to just, like, seek some help, or, I don't know, maybe he's doing that, but he's not saying it out loud, but I just hate his reaction to that.
Yeah, no, or, I'm gonna go to Sean Ducha route. Maybe him and Draymond planned this, because he's like, yo, this contract talks aren't going well for me right now, yo, I don't think I'm gonna get the bag, you know, and Draymond's like, yo, what if I just punched the shit out of you, and, like, you know, have my boy, like, record it, anyways. You know, and then, you know, you'll secure the bag.
Yeah. See, the only hole I'll poke in that is now Draymond definitely isn't getting any money. So I think like he would have.
Yeah. But he's like, I don't. That doesn't work for me, man.
Or Jordan Poole was like, I didn't tell you to punch me that hard. You fucking asshole. You're an asshole. You really hit. You really knocked me the fuck out. Like, that's not cool.
Yo, that was tomorrow.
I know, right? He's like, and you didn't push me. You didn't push me hard enough, so I just punched you. It's like, it's whatever. And then on top of all this, fucking Wiggins gets a 4-year extension, what, like 109 mil or something like that. So Draymond ain't getting no bag. He's gonna fucking get traded, probably like what Max said.
I'm just really pissed off about like the fact that they just literally never have to have the decision on like, oh, can we keep this play? They just pay everybody.
Yeah, they pay like, you know, whatever, 80 mil in luxury tax every fucking year. They don't care. They don't give a shit.
Wild.
The Warriors, that's what they do. Meanwhile, the Red Sox have that type of money, but they just don't want to spend it.
Yeah.
But that's another story for another day. All right. In case you missed it, Ice Cube claims that the NBA and ESPN are, quote, doing everything in their powers to destroy the Big Three basketball league.
To destroy the empire that Ice Cube built.
I mean, I won't go as far as saying the empire, but yeah, just the league that. Semi-pro league that he's been running for the last few years, you know, summer shit after the finals and stuff like that.
Listen, Sway? What are you talking about?
The concept was great, right, when that shit came out, but have any of you guys watched a game of the Big Three? A
couple times in the last couple of years.
Hmm. Was it like?
Well, I went to one, but I was in Miami.
I think it was in its heyday. Like,
it's heyday. It's only been around for a few days, but okay.
Yeah, yeah. It's been like
the second year.
2020. 2019, I think, was the first year.
Yeah, I feel like the second year they found.
I give it credit for surviving the pandemic, to be honest, but go ahead.
I mean, for them getting a fucking TV deal with CBS, that's fucking amazing. I'm going to say that.
Yeah, but I just feel like a lot of it's like, okay, we really don't need the same players on the teams every single year. Like, spice it.
I think that part is fine, but I just think they need like Joe Johnson was the best thing that ever happened to them.
Yeah, they need more star power.
Like, they need more of that. Like, yeah. Yeah.
Like they were trying to get AI to do an AI. It's like, no, I'm good, guys. Thanks.
No, they tried. I know. It was a marketing thing, man. Like, he played one game, just like, come on, I told you. All right, yeah, you're good, man. It's like, it was just to get people.
I know
to
it's half court and all.
The first thing, yeah.
I know it's half court and all, but you know, come on, guys. Really, you already thought I was going to play the full season?
This would never happen. This would never ever happen. But you telling me if you get someone like KG, you're not going to watch that shit? You know what I mean? Like,
Paul Pierce.
Fuck. I don't know. I'm trying to think of like other names, like, you know, maybe not guys who aren't like, you know, Hall of Famers, but guys who are just fun to watch. I mean,
can you imagine Tim Parker, Manu Ginobili, Tim Parker.
Yeah, exactly. But like, again, but that would never happen.
Coached by Steven Jackson. Yeah, I can see that.
And you get like when Rondo retires, you get a Rondo Pierce Garnett trio. Man.
It'd be like the Dare 3-on-3 all over again.
Exactly.
You pick your squad. You sign up. It's like this is my squad.
Let's
like, I don't know how they would do it, but they have to get players in it in that type of way. Where they're just like, oh, you think I'm washed? Nah, I can still wax you. You know what I mean? Like, even like on some WWE shit, like start up a fake like social media fight between like two like revered, you know, legends or whatever, or revered perennial all stars.
Yeah, I don't think like,
we'll figure it out in the big three.
Yeah, like something, some sort of rivalry, like, you know, just to sort of spice it up. Even if, you know, it's staged, people will believe it.
WWE style.
Yeah, like even started like they need like plot lines. It's like, honestly, I'm so serious right now because I think that with players, maybe a couple, even if it's like one rivalry, you know, between like, that's the thing. I'm trying to think of like a hypothetical. Like, I don't even know. I keep thinking KG, but KG would never do it. So I'm trying to think of someone like more realistic.
So the one thing that I think they could use,
like someone who just retired like a year or two ago, is like, yo,
they need to regionalize it, man. That's the problem. Like, I think one of the things that the basketball tournament does well, you know, that TBT, the $1 million thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah.
Something well where it's like, okay, there's a Cincinnati Bearcats alumni team, and like you could get into that if you're went to that school or West Virginia or like these basketball programs that come out. If they could get,
I don't know, man, because then you're gonna start bringing up the guy that never made it to the league. Oh, he was nice and cold. I'm like, yeah, but he hasn't played in like 15 years.
I'm not talking.
Skip to my Lou.
I mean like NCAA legends that played like 4 years in the league, like Jimmer Fredette or some shit. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Which Jordan Fredette does play in the league. But also, what I was saying is not call it. I mean, they take that thing and then they make
it. He's not like, a Pelican still, is he?
You got a Celtics team. You got a Lakers alumni team. You got a Heat alumni team. And, like, do it like that. So if you like the Celtics, you go in knowing the team that you like. And you're like, okay, I'm going to watch these guys.
I mean, you don't like the killer bees? You don't like that shit?
No, I think the teams are.
Yo, Steven Jackson plays on that man show, man. I like Steven.
Yeah,
don't talk about Jack like that.
But like, no one's a Killer Bees fan.
No one's walking around Killer Bees jerseys.
Yeah. No one's
like no one is someone exactly like Sean. Someone like Sean can say if someone put a cut to you, I was like, yo, man, I'm starting three on the Killer Bees. You're like, fuck, like you're done.
Like, all right, this is the last day of my life.
Before you said Killer Bees, it was said.
I'd be like, Corey Maggette,
name one big three team. I'd be like, oh fuck, dude.
just pull the trigger.
But if there was like the
lucky, tell my wife and kid I love it.
If there was like the lucky, like the Chicago Matadors or something,
like the G League team names, yeah,
exactly. Then you got
wait.
Something.
So what's hold on? Let's get back to the story though. What's your receipts?
All right. So this is what he said. All right, this is according to Yahoo. All right, and I quote: the NBA, they haven't been the nicest to the big three. Of course, publicly, they say all the right words. But they know privately there are things done behind the scenes, come sponsors, broadcasters, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, that soured me a little bit. I love the league and I still respect the league. I think they should do more with the big three. We've proven ourselves. We have a lot of their players or ex-players and ex-ambassadors as part of this league. They believe in the league. So I wish the NBA would see that we are complementary. End quote. Essentially, he's kind of bitching about how the NBA doesn't, you know, support the big three more.
He just thought that they'd be able to ride their coattails a little bit.
You know, honestly, it kind of sounds like that to me, too. It sounds like he wants that WNBA
deal. Yeah.
Like, hey, bro, I'm not covering your losses.
He wants NBA TV to show their games. Like, you know.
Like, not only that, but you know, like.
Like report on their games. I meant to say, like, you know.
Well, that too, but.
Highlights or whatever.
Because NBA TV does do that, especially in the summertime. But what I mean is, like, protecting the bottom line. Like. The WNBA, year after year, they lose money. Like, they're not making money.
Yeah.
You know? If anything, they're trying to break even, and the NBA helps them with that. So that's why they've been able to, you know, still run for 10 plus years.
Stay afloat, at least.
Yeah. So I feel like he's sort of picking at that tree right now. I'm just like,
Yeah, because at the same time, he's saying.
I mean, he's doing his due diligence, though.
Because he's also saying that, you know, he's had. Here's another quote. It says, myself and the entire league are honored to be officially certified by Buy Black and the U.S. Black Chambers. So from day one, the league has been dedicated to providing opportunities for Black players, fans, investors, and partners. We are proud to be part of the nationwide network of Black business owners. Supporting Black enterprise is a lifelong passion of mine, and the Big Three will continue to build upon its successes and lift up other Black entrepreneurs. So essentially, he's like, I got these other... I guess co-signers of the league. So why isn't the NBA, you know, coming in and, you know, giving us a little bit of a boost? I guess
can't get a handout from everybody. Ice Cube, come on,
yay!
he was just short of saying, you know, y'all got the Black players, I got Black sponsors. Like, why aren't you guys helping us out? Why aren't we helping each other out? Why aren't we scratching each other's backs? That's exactly what he's saying.
You know what, Ice Cube? Why did I
actually know what? I don't blame the guy. I don't blame.
So he's like, I'm on his side, actually.
He's like, throw us a fucking bone. Come on. Yeah,
that's like right. ECW back in the day trying to like fucking
right,
ask WWE, like, yo, can you, you know, get some of your wrestlers to come and wrestle in our promotion? Like, that's,
I don't know. It's the biggest thing about, like, it goes against the status quo. Like, the last thing the NBA wants is, like, a player. That's just like, yeah, if the Big Three is a big enough opportunity and I don't want to play anymore, I'll just go play there and get paid over there. So why would they actively, like, support their potential competition?
Yeah, because there's no, at least I haven't seen it, any, like, report on what's the average salary of a Big Three.
Yeah, they're not getting player. Shit,
but the G League, for example, I know that the G League is you know, minimum of, like, you know, $3,000, $300,000, I meant to say.
I'm just saying, that's like.
I was going to say $3,000.
I mean, it's common sense. I'm fighting for a roster spot. I'm a veteran that's fighting
for the union when you need it.
Dude. I mean, maybe back when, you know, when Antron was trying to make a comeback, maybe it was that, but now it's gone up.
How much is the vetman?
And the NBA, we're talking about what, like $3 million?
Talking about NBA or G League?
No, the NBA is like $3 million. 2.9, yeah, something like that.
2.9,
2.8,
something like that.
Say that again?
Minimum.
So they're never going to get there. So they're probably going to get
there. You just shit all over. I thought you were going to go somewhere else with that.
The G League, I want to say, is what? 600,000, I think? Something like that.
No, I think it's less. I think it might be.
No, it's a lot less. The minimum? Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
it's minimum. But,
and like $1 million deal still like this.
Like, put it like this. Two-way players that get
two-way players.
Yeah, two-way players are getting like, I don't know, close 100
million.
100K, if that.
No, they get more than that.
I don't know.
Two players get more than that. The thing is,
that's JD Davidson when you get, next time you get a chance.
The minimum has gone up for sure because the minimum used to be like, when it first started out, the minimum was like $70,000. But it's definitely gone up since then. Mm. I mean, when they changed the G League to the G League, the D League was the guy a lot less. But
no, I think if Cube wants to, you know, the NBA involved with the Big Three, why don't you talk to them about All-Star Weekend? Like, do some shit with them during All-Star Weekend in whatever city that they're...
Some kind of showcase, right?
Yeah. And then, like, you know, part of their, you know, All-Star Saturday night, be in between the three-point contest and the dunk contest, have some shit that promotes the Big Three. I don't know. But, like, I don't know. I get what he's saying, but yeah. it does sound like he's bitching more than you know than it's gonna be beneficial to him. I don't know. That's just me.
Wow, I take that back. Jeez Louise.
Oh, you read some more?
The absolute minimum, like if you were to walk onto a G League team, is $7,000 a month.
Well, yeah.
All right. Yeah. Sounds about right.
It's not what I thought that was.
Yeah.
Dude, if you're,
I mean, they have G League tryouts, you know, every year.
If you're the 10th man on the G League team, I mean, yeah, what do you expect to make? Like
$60,000?
And you're living in Idaho.
No,
$7,000 a month.
How long is the G League season for?
Well, I mean, you're gonna get paid for 12 months, regardless, right? Even if there's only a few months.
Yeah, but if I'm not mistaken, I don't think they're paying for like food and stuff. Yeah, 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 yeah. $7,000 a month.
No. It's not basketball camp.
I'm thinking they probably give you like $100 stipend a day on food. That's probably like three meals.
You taking buses and stuff?
Yeah, living that life.
Living the shuttle life, yeah.
But you do get health insurance, so that's key.
Well, yeah, take the good with the bad, you know.
And $7,000 a month—that's not bad. I mean, that's making about $100K a year.
Hmm. All right.
That is not like making $100K a year, bro. The season ain't nowhere near 12 months. And so
that's what I'm saying. If you spread it off for the whole year, you make about $100K a year. 7 times 12 is what, 84?
Yeah, I know, but they're not playing basketball for 12 months. They're not even playing for half of that.
I know what Sean's saying. It's like when they say you're getting a 5-year contract, it doesn't mean like you're getting paid for the 12 months.
True.
Yeah.
I'm saying if you are, whatever
the season is, it's up to you to make that stretch out.
If you for some reason think that it's like it's still a payable job. You're making $7,000 a month, and I don't know why you wouldn't just go overseas at that point.
I know, right? You can make a shit ton more. Yeah,
you are better than. But yeah, I get it. You love Idaho, maybe,
or Wyoming, wherever. All right, last but not least, in case you missed it, all four members of TNT's Inside the NBA have signed a long-term contract extension that actually goes beyond the network's current league deal. All right, so the current NBA deal with TNT ends after the 2024-25 season. And other than Charles Barkley, which was reported that he signed a 10-year, $200 million deal with TNT, all the other members, Ernie, Kenny, and Shaq, they signed, but this for an unknown amount and unknown length.
Yeah, I'm glad that we got this thing all set up because I was worried that Chuck was going to go to live golf for a minute there.
Now, a lot of people were saying that, and he said his current deal that he's on before the extension kicks in was going to be his last with TNT. He felt like it was only going to last like I think 5 years. So yeah,
there you go, Sir Charles, making bank.
I mean, you got the NFL with that deal with Amazon, which is it's going pretty good, huh, guys? What do you guys think? Thursday Night Footballs?
Oh, yeah. It's a thing of beauty. That's the basketball's going to go there soon, too.
You think so? God damn it.
That's what's going to happen. There's going to be like, they're going to run out of TNT contract, and they're going to give it to Amazon Prime, and we're going to be watching Chuck complaining about how to find Amazon Prime on Amazon Prime. It's going to be great.
Yeah, it's going to be hilarious.
No, but Chuck is still going to be on TNT. What are you talking about?
Yo, shout out to the best post game show in sports, bro. Hell yeah. Give me some more of that.
It's a great
for the next 10 years.
I mean, you know, NBA.
It's a great basketball.
Yeah, it's at the NBA, you know, 33-year run. They got 17 fucking sports Emmys. Like, they're doing the damn thing. Like, that's the.
It is the best show of all time.
They've set the bar.
Meanwhile, every year we're waiting to see what kind of combination ESPN can come up with to try to compete.
Yeah, firing and
changing every year. I swear,
people around and you know how can we get you know fucking Jalen Rose to actually put on a suit? Yeah, I get it. It's just weird. Yeah,
pretty much.
It's fucking weird.
They put all their eggs in the Andrews in the Andrew basket. Never did popping up on the NBA today. You see that?
No, yeah, I do.
I missed it.
It's like, hey, no, it's Malika and I forget the other Andrew's sister's name, but they're just sisters talking basketball.
Yeah,
it's like
yeah. It's amazing. It's amazing.
No, it's not. The office.
So yeah, that's
he said, "Goddamn."
what's going to happen, you know, beyond the 2024-25 season. It's anybody's guess because of that current NBA deal with TNT. That's when it ends. But this contract extension is through Warner Brothers and Discovery Sports. I didn't know Discovery Sports was even a thing until I, you know, read about this extension here.
Oh, it's a great channel, bro.
No.
I'm just kidding.
Is it a channel? Is it a company? I don't know what that is.
No, I think it's an agency.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right.
I'm just being an asshole.
That's what it is. So.
Discovery Sports is like, it's like Ice Road Truckers when they go play basketball or something like that.
It's like in between the Deadliest Catches like episode, they're playing basketball on the boat as it's like
exactly
going back and forth.
Celebrity games between the Ice Road Truckers and the Deadliest Catch.
All right, someone's gotta go get the ball now.
I know, man, we've lost like 25 basketballs over the last like 5 days, but you know, it is what it is.
Why do we try to play basketball?
It's like, that's the beauty of this. We gotta figure it out.
Captain ripping butts. Are you playing fucking basketball, dude? I'm like, no.
It builds chemistry when we gotta, you know, catch these fucking fish.
I got a great point, man. Relax.
So, but it really cuts into my bottom line when I keep buying basketballs. I gotta buy 40 basketballs each trip.
So you gotta step it up then. You gotta step it up. Step up your game. And this won't happen.
Only King Crab 40 basketballs is.
So real quick before we get out of here, yo. I just want to say this season, it marks Causeway Street's 10th year in existence as a brand.
Wow.
When we started, we were a blog, Causeway Street.
CausewayStreetBlog.com.
CausewayStreetBlog.com. Right. Now it's just CausewayStreet.com. Don't do the Causeway Street blog because then you ain't going to go nowhere. Yeah. CausewayStreet.com. We started as a blog, you know, and that was Paul Pierce, Kevin KG's, and Rondo's last year together here in Boston. So, like, it felt like longer than 10 years, but that's when we started this shit. And then a couple years later, that's when we started the podcast, right? So,
yeah, we started a couple years after there. Yeah.
So shout out to our, you know, our day one fans, you know, obviously, writers, past and present. And of course, all those that continue to support, you know, the Causeway Street brand. Shout out to CLNS, yeah, CLNS Media. It's been, you know, behind us pretty much since the podcast started. So,
yo, people was hitting me up every like few weeks or so, just in my inbox. Like, yo, you guys gonna, when's the next episode of Causeway coming up? Man? I love that, man. Yeah. I love that. Yeah, no, I appreciate
it. Just every time any kind of news broke about like the Celtics, it was just like, yo, when y'all coming on? Like, when's the next episode? Like, you know? So,
yeah, yo, you may cheated. Like, y'all gonna talk soon? We got it all, man.
Y'all need to fucking dust the mics off and get in there. Like, all right, we're working on it. So, we appreciate all that over the last like decade or so. You know, with that being said, people is on all social media platforms at Causeway Street. We're still alive and well on Twitter, Instagram, and, you know, Snapchat, Facebook. So subscribe also to the Causeway After Hours. That's on patreon.com/causeway.
One gold coin. That's all it costs.
One gold coin. Exactly. Exactly. And that gold coin is not worth $17,000. So, you know, we'd appreciate that.
It's worth 12 quarters, actually. If you want to make it, you want to get technical. Grab 12 quarters, that's what it costs you.
And so you can enjoy some exclusive content on there. Sway's opened up the vault to his exclusive one-on-one interviews with NBA players, such as, the late, you know, Kobe Bryant, you know, Marcus Smart. You had one on Muggsy Bogues this week,
I believe. Last week I had Muggsy on, man. That was a good conversation, great conversation. Yeah, you guys would be surprised who he compares the late great Reggie Lewis to.
Oh, okay.
So you guys should check that out. But yeah, man, it's been great. And you know what else too? That episode we put together. I don't know if that's what you're about to say, but
yes.
Man, we really just had an open conversation about the teammate situation, and just a lot of the whole, like, you know, people things that you're afraid to say, or like, we just threw it all out there. So it was a really good conversation.
You know?
Yeah, it was some shit that I wouldn't say on CLNS Media, put it that way. So it was a good conversation.
It was the warm up to, you know, to this, obviously this 300th episode. We not only talked about, you know, Ime and the Celtics off season, but, you know, go on over there again, patreon.com/causeway, subscribe, and you'll be doing us a solid when you do, because guess what? We also got giveaways on there. Oh,
shocking. Yeah, man. Why don't you go ahead and win yourself a
mic drop right there.
A Celtics jersey for the new season, man. We got you covered. Yeah, all you gotta do is subscribe.
Because you get the real spoils here. Yeah. You get the jerseys, you get the exclusive access into the Causeway Club.
Yeah.
And that's a thing.
Become a Causeway Saint.
You get to hear some of the greatest Ducha drunk stories. Or stories in general. We actually just say drunk.
It's not just basketball, guys. It's not just sports over here. We talk about all types of shit.
Yeah, all the strippers. The stuff that we ever talked about. That.
Yeah, we did talk about that.
Made it into the after hours. Yeah, that's the
bachelor parties. Yeah, you know, all types of shit. It's all good stuff.
Miami Nights.
Oh, yeah.
Once again, shout out to Cedric Maxwell for coming on for our 300th episode. That shit was long overdue. So we appreciate that for stopping by. And remember to peep the Cedric Maxwell podcast, co-hosted with Sway, also under the CLNS umbrella.
Absolutely.
Well, that's it, guys. Anything else you guys want to add before we close up shop here for our 300th episode?
Nah, bro. You pretty much said it all, man. All
right, man.
Joel's like, yo, let's keep this going. We're like, nah. Yeah.
Right. So until next time, Celtics, they're going to win that season opener. After that, it's anybody's guess.
I don't know. They're
going to
win it. We'll see.
I think Philadelphia's
a good season, though.
I think Philadelphia's a little bit overrated. Just
82-0, baby. 82-0. Let's go.
Time to look ahead. No.
That's it. 82-0. That's a look ahead.
Later.